Father, open your word to us now, that we who need your grace so much may not fail to hear your voice through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The last time I was leading and preaching here at the Church of Our Lady and St. Nicholas was just before Christmas. And when David and I arrived in the church car park that evening, we stood for a while looking heavenwards to the west across the field adjoining the churchyard to see if we could observe the International Space Station as it flew across the sky. We did see it, and I waved, hoping that its occupants, including Major Tim Peake, would be looking out of the window to wave back. What I could see was something that looked like an aeroplane, lit up by its own lights. But in reality, the light was not coming from the space station. It was coming from the light, from the sun. Yes, the sun. Effectively, the sun's light was revealing the space station to the naked eye in a very dense, dark sky. Although the space station is orbiting our planet in daylight, we don't see it because it doesn't show up against a sunlit sky. This amazing phenomenon got me thinking about how we see things, how it is that some things are revealed to us and others are not. In particular, how something which would have been impossible to see in daylight was revealed by the light from afar. In Scripture, the obvious example that readily comes to mind is the revealing of the birth of our Lord in Bethlehem, revealed to the Magi, who were guided to that place by the light of the star. The season we are now in the Church's calendar, the season of Epiphany, is a whole season of revelations in the understanding of our faith. For in this season, we have a revealing of God to the world. As it says in the Book of Common Prayer, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. So then, with the Feast of the Epiphany celebrated last week, we find that our readings take on the theme of the revealing of God in Jesus to all. The gospel reading for today was God revealing his Son in his baptism by John in the River Jordan. Next week in the lectionary, the gospel will be Jesus revealing his glory to his disciples through his first miracle in the wedding at Cana. Our readings this evening allow us to follow this understanding of revealing the truth and nature of God. The Old Testament reading from Isaiah is set out as a hymn which celebrates Israel's approaching restoration from exile in Babylon. God summons his people to have all they need without charge. This signifies a promise of pardon to all who have the need without charge. This signifies a promise for all of them, and a reminder that God, who gives a pardon, may be found near at hand. It celebrates the gracious and universal invitation of God, and is full of rich echoes, which can be found in other scriptures, such as the cry of wisdom as she invites all people to her banquet. The water and the bread shows the basic necessity of what God offers. Indeed, this message alone can be seen as enough to sustain life. But God also offers more generosity and abundance with the offering of wine and milk. There is an apparent paradox of buy without money, which suggests that what is offered is not available for money, so valuable is it. Yet using the word buy suggests that there is a willingness and an eager response from those who hear the message. The spiritual nature of God's invitation is brought out by the command to hear and come. The hearing being equivalent of eating, because the word of God must become part of the hearer. The coming is the visible response to the heart's desire to be fed and satisfied. The Isaiah reading goes on to reveal practicalities for all who accept the invitation. It says that God promises to make an everlasting covenant with his people based upon his love for David. Yet its scope is not restricted to Israel. David was not a leader of the people, singular, but a leader of the peoples, plural. And it goes on that by revealing his glory through Israel, then all nations, even ones they don't know, will rush to join them. Our understanding of this is the covenant made with David and his dynasty to be followed through to the guarantor of God's faithfulness in Jesus. All this then is articulated in the response in verses 6 and 7, which says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And this is not mere information which the people are to seek from the Lord, but his transforming grace. This involves a recognition that God's ways and thoughts are not ours, so therefore we must trust his promises and obey his commands. There is beautiful poetry in this Isaiah reading, and to my mind it illustrates this point perfectly. It says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." All this links in with God's purpose through time and space. This is the true invitation for all of us to share in this abundant life. For when we connect with our faith through prayer and in reading our Bible, we begin to see more clearly God's word revealed to us in an understanding that sees God beyond today, tomorrow, beyond our financial crises, our wars, our disputes, our political intrigues, our disasters, and our triumphs. For beyond what we recognize as time, God sees above and beyond our comprehension. All we need to do is trust in his word. The last two verses of the Isaiah reading sums it up. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that which goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Thus the divine word is always present, like rain in soil. God is not distant, but with us always. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is also concerned with what lies beyond our immediate here and now experience. The bigger picture, which goes far beyond all which can be seen and understood at one time. This whole passage underlines the believer's oneness with Christ through baptism. It gives the baptized, the inheritors of God's grace, the whole picture that we, by our baptism, identify with Christ through his death and resurrection. For through baptism, we die to sin, and we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Jesus' baptism is the beginning of what we know as the revelation of God's Son, God with us, having an earthly life and ministry, moving through to the events which would lead him to his death and resurrection. But here in this reading, Paul had found it necessary to tell his readers that God's abundant grace is for all the baptized. It doesn't mean that it is to be exploited, allowing us to continue sinning. So this whole passage underlines the believer's oneness with Christ through baptism. For we find that Paul uses the word with in verses 4, 5, 6, and 8. This generosity of God should encourage the believer to accept the responsibility that Jesus died through our sins, so that through our baptism with Christ, through the Spirit, we die to sin. So clearly, we can no longer live in sin. For through our baptism, as the collect prayer says, we are the adopted children of our Heavenly Father, and it is our calling to continue the revelation of God's love to all. Our present Spirit-filled church community here has been rooted and grounded by the baptized faithful who have worshipped in this sacred place over the centuries. We now, in our journey of faith, are the present connection to future generations. May we continue to serve God with confidence and dedication, connecting together in the wider fellowship of the Christian community in our neighbourhood, and in our working together within this parish and through our mission partnership. So in this new year, our epiphany should enlighten us to the reality of God's abundant life for all, enabling us in our calling through the power of the Spirit to reveal Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, to all in our community who thirst for the water of life. Amen.